Hello, welcome to the special edition of the REIT Report, Nareit's weekly podcast. I'm your host, Alan Kenny, and we're recording this on December 8th, 2017. I'm joined today by Burl East, manager of the Altegris AACA Opportunistic Real Estate Fund. We're going to discuss his thoughts on technology-focused investment opportunities in real estate. Burl, thanks for joining us.
It is fantastic to be here. Thank you for having me.
Burl, I know that some of the largest holdings in your fund's portfolio are in data centers and cell towers. Clearly tablets, smartphones, the apps also that live on them have driven up demand for data and connectivity. But can you explain how maybe other emerging technologies are starting to affect the market?
Sure, Alan. You know, if you look around you, the average person in the Western world has a handful of devices. I mean, most people have a computer at home and a computer at work. And frequently they have an iPad or some kind of phone, and then maybe there's some other device. And all of those devices generate data. They generate a trail of information in, information out, information stored. And all of that information needs to be recorded permanently, and it needs to be available all the time on every device that the person has. So that's sort of the starting point. And the corollary to that, the fact that we give folks that people find, frankly, a little bit overwhelming, is that 90% of the data on the planet today was created in the last 2 years. So if you stop and you think about that, that is an overwhelming number. And if you take that and you apply that, you put a little XY graph together and say, wow, well, going forward, it is going to continue to be like that. That creates the tremendous demand for data centers, right, which is where the cloud lives. It's where enterprises store their information. It's where folks like Nareit or the Securities Exchange Commission or the SEC, you know, keeps their stuff. And then incrementally, if you look out over the next, call it 5 years, which is, you know, a fairly tidy amount of time, we see a couple of very, very big drivers. The first is big data. And big data means that as you record customer interactions, let's say you're Google or Amazon, the customer interactions exhibit patterns. And people build pattern recognition algorithms to create predictive behavior, right? So if a customer does X and Y, they might do Z. And you'll see this very simplistically, for instance, if you are a Netflix subscriber and you watch a Star Trek movie, when you turn on Netflix the next time, it suggests to you that you might like a movie from the same venue. You might like another Star Trek movie, or you might like a movie with Chris Pine, who is Captain Kirk, right? So that is an extraordinarily simplistic predictive algorithm based on prior purchase, right? Mm-hmm. Apply that, though, to everything you do, everything. And because whether it's the supermarket or recurring purchase from Amazon or anything that you do that exhibits any kind of pattern, people are interested in that pattern and using predictive. So big data, we think, drives an enormous amount of data consumption and data analytics. The second thing is the cloud. The cloud, which is essentially the idea that you, a consumer or a business, puts their information in unspecified servers and unspecified locations in a software-determined database run by somebody like Google or Microsoft Azure, that enables consumers and businesses to have access to all their data all their time. So, and we just talked about, like, let's say you have your iPhone and you want your music. And that's a really simplistic sort of analysis, but let's say instead that you run an enormous sales force of people and you have thousands of salespeople around the globe that need access to budgets and product information and product delivery times and all that. So cloud is really big. Then you have self-driving cars. Think about that for a minute. An automobile that drives itself generates a staggering, it's like 5 gigabytes a minute or something like this, of data, because it's measuring every conceivable thing that can be measured physically. It's recording that. It's transmitting it like ET call home back to whomever operates it. It might be Google or somebody like that. And it's also talking to other cars so they don't, you know, crash into each other. And then you have household intelligence, the idea that Amazon Echo or Google Home Assistant or whatever that thing is called, can make your home smarter. It can regulate your environment. And then you have biometric sportswear. You know, 2 years from now, when you go into Nike, Nike will sell you a running shirt that measures stuff. It measures, you know, sweat salinity. It measures pH. It measures your heart rate. And it communicates that wirelessly through Bluetooth with some device that you're wearing, maybe a Fitbit. And that Fitbit sends it to your phone, and your phone sends it to your Facebook update. And so when you start talking about all these things, and use, and by the way, I haven't used imagination here. These are just things that are in the pipeline right now. These things drive demand. At we think demand is probably going 20 to 40% domestically. In places like Asia, it's going twice as fast for connectivity and data. So data centers, data center REITs, and cell tower REITs. You know, American Tower and Crown Castle and SBAC, which isn't a REIT, those guys all fit for us into the Internet of Things real estate, and that is our biggest single exposure at about 40% of our portfolio.
So to me, Burl, I mean, this raises a couple questions. Really, you know, when we're talking about self-driving cars and whatnot, I still think that many people think of those kinds of innovations more, you know, as you know, Tomorrowland, as opposed to something that's just right around the corner. Now, maybe not, but I guess the question as it pertains to real estate investment is, you know, what kind of timelines are we talking about for the effects of those technologies to be realized on the market?
It's happening now. If you pick up the phone and call, let's say, one of the data center companies, call QTS or call CyrusOne and ask them, what do you think is going on in demand for your product? They're going to tell you it's growing at, you know, 20 to 30%. So this, some of this stuff isn't here now. The idea that you stream music through your phone is here now. The idea that no one listens to the CD player anymore, nobody listens to satellite radio anymore. People listen to Pandora and Spotify. And that's all, you know, data center stuff runs through your phone. So a lot of this is right here and now immediately. And other things like big data is here now. Go talk to IBM about big data, or any consumer company, Walmart, about how they parse the behavior of their consumers and how they try to streamline and make easier and more appealing the purchase price process. And so that is now. So the Tomorrowland concept is, we don't think that applies at all. And secondly, you want to be in a business where things are getting better, and things are getting better. And whether it gets, you know, so let's say it was Tomorrowland. I said, well, you know, self-driving cars are not 3 years away. They're 10 years away. It kind of doesn't matter to us, because each and every year the business gets better. And we like to invest in businesses that have secular demand drivers. The other thing that you use this as a, maybe perhaps a negative comparison, but many other sectors of real estate, almost all of them, are cyclical in nature. And so if we're talking about the demand for apartments or industrial or, you know, retail or whatever, those are cyclically driven. What we're talking about with technology real estate is secularly driven. And there's a really big difference in between those two characters. And we basically don't own any cyclical real estate, and all we do is own real estate that has secular demand drivers underlying the user base, which is what we would concur for data centers and cell phone towers.
So I guess following up, I mean, do you have any idea as to how much of this infrastructure and capacity are needed right now to meet future demand, maybe versus what we already have kind of online?
No, I have no idea. And neither does anybody else. It's like you could have asked me how many fish are in the ocean. The answer is, if I say 3.2 billion, you're going to nod your head and go, okay. We're new to this. The invention, big data, cloud, virtual reality, augmented reality, artificial intelligence, these things are people can come up with an estimate, but they got it by basically wetting their finger and holding it up to the wind. What I can tell you is the demand is secular. Demand also makes common sense. If you explain this to somebody, they nod their head up and down and go, okay. No one refutes any of this. Now, there may be, well, is this all come to roost this year or next year, and is next year's growth rate faster than this year's and all that stuff? And I don't know the answers to any of that, nor does anybody else. But what I can tell you is, as a business idea, it makes good sense to position your portfolio, as we have, in front of a coming wave of demand. I can't tell you exactly if the wave is a Mavericks-sized wave. Mavericks, by the way, is a shelf of wave creation west of Santa Cruz, where frequently there's 50 to 80-foot waves. Or it's a North Shore Hawaii wave, right, which might be 60 to 40 feet. I don't know that. But I do know that it's a really big wave.
All right. Well, Burl, thank you so much for your time. It's really, really interesting stuff.
Thank you, Alan. Appreciate it very, very much. And happy holidays, everyone.
Same to you. Same to you, Burl. And many thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us as well. Please visit REIT.com for more on this and other real estate news and analysis. For the REIT Report, I'm Alan Kenney.